GoLoud presents Murder Most Irish. Find it first on the GoLoud app and on all major podcast platforms.
Maybe this is just me and my paranoid brain. If I'm on like a public, like say I'm on a train, I'm usually going to Slugford, I stop into the shop and I get like a Diet Coke and a bag of popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And when I open the Diet Coke, I always think people think I'm opening like alcohol.
No, I never, but I don't really get trains.
I'm really paranoid about it. I'm like,
I want to understand. And then I do this. Like there was one time I was on a call at work, my boss, and it was a Friday, and I had one of those Doritos colas.
Mm.
And he was like, "Are you drinking beer?" And I was like, "No, it's cola."
Yeah,
like, but because it's in a glass bottle. And I was like, "I fucking wish I was talking to you."
Yeah, because like, whenever I open them, I'm always like,
"It's Coca-Cola.
It's DC, baby, please. I'm not drinking on the train." Plus, I did not know drinking on trains is now fully like banned. You can't do that anymore.
On all of them?
Pretty much all. Any train that I've been on the last while has actually been like no alcohol on the train.
So there's one, or like they used to ban the ones that were like the Hens and Stags routes.
That'd be like Cork and Kilkenny. Yeah.
Kilkenny was a big one.
That's done now though, isn't it? All that shit in Kilkenny. Like people can't, or have they brought that? Remember they were doing that thing a while ago, they were like no more stag days, no more hen days in the city, because they were like it's too much, we can't.
Well, Kilkenny was just, that's all
like,
it was.
The cities in bits like.
And it was madness.
It's Kilkenny.
I was there for Mother's Day. Jesus.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
It was carnage. There was a woman beside me, shorted. I'm not joking. 41 cocktails. 41 of the same cocktails, because they had a cocktail special on. I think I've told the story. And then they brought them out in a glass and it wasn't the same glass as what they advertised. So she was like, I'm not paying for them and I don't want them.
What?
Yeah.
I would have had her arrested.
She was from fucking... Oh. She was from fucking Drimna. She was from like the Drimna Massel.
You wouldn't mess
like
with.
She was, what you call it? The Kinahans.
Oh, dude, that's awful. That, dude, those people had to make 41.
They made 41 cocktails.
That's
and
awful.
Then they brought them out. And then they were in those like a small tumbler rather than like a big cocktail glass.
Yeah.
So they didn't have 40 fucking one of them.
Of course not.
And she was like, no. And then she was like, if you give me like half price on all of them.
You fucking bitch.
And I was like, we need to leave. That's, Michaela was like, sorry. I'm gonna, what? I was like,
that's cunt behaviour though.
And then also Michaela sang 9 songs in a row in karaoke.
Oh no, get off the stage, Michaela.
She sang 9 songs in a row of songs that she hadn't signed up for. She was like, Therese, that's me. Michaela, that's me. Sarah Jane, that's me. To the point where someone was throwing ice at her. Someone started to throw ice at her because Michaela can't sing.
Just to get her off the stage.
Yeah, they were like, please shut the fuck up. Like,
imagine just being on stage and somebody starts throwing
Michaela,
that.
Michaela didn't care. Michaela was like, throw it, baby.
Catch it.
She was like, when I was young, I never needed anyone.
Some ice being lobbed at her head. Like,
honestly, she can sing one song well.
Does she take it seriously? Or is she having the crack?
No, she does. Like, she really would love to be a good singer.
Okay.
But she isn't a good singer.
But like, so she
can't give up on the dream of being
like
a good singer.
She doesn't take it seriously. Like, this motherfucker in here takes it so seriously.
No. And she like, Michaela's 46? She's 6 years older than me. She's 45 now, so she's 46 this year.
Okay.
And like...
Is she?
Yeah, because I'm 40 this year and she's 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
And
it's just her 40. It does not seem that long. Like, 6 years ago. That's wild.
Yeah.
God, that's crazy.
But I just... Yeah, she can sing one song well.
And then she tries with all the other songs.
She's like,
in the hopes that these other songs are going
like,
to come out well as well.
Footsteps on the dance floor. She sings that one. Reminds me, baby, of you.
That's a bop.
She sang that at my grandma's funeral. And I was like, not appropriate. Like, call it, Michaela. Like, and then she was like, my sister, I love her so much. She's been here for me all. I was like, are you having a laugh? And she was like, this is for Morris. Footsteps on the dance floor. And I was like, Morris is dead.
Was she locked?
I'm probably delighted.
Was she locked?
My granda's funeral turned into a whole other thing, man.
It's fucking typical Irish bullshit. Like, just everybody gets absolutely annoyed.
She was like, this is what Morris would have wanted. And I was like, is it?
Is it? Would he have wanted footsteps on the dance floor?
Yeah. Reminds me, baby, of you.
That is Bob.
And she goes, tear. She goes like this.
I love you, Dad.
Teardrop in my eyes.
Oh, she's Mariah in it there. Like, she's getting into it, Sarah Jane.
She does a little two-step as well.
Oh, I think I'd love to imagine Michaela doing that. That would be so funny.
But yeah, no, she... anyway, you know, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, everybody. I'm sick, so I apologise if I cough, sneeze, make a weird noise in my throat. I am very, very sorry. Kelly's sick now. Kelly's dying. Yesterday, we went into town and we got food. And then she was trying to find something to wear, but we couldn't find anything. And she was exhausted.
Mm.
And we got into Penny's and I just looked at her eyes. And you know that glassy thing?
Yeah.
I was like, you're getting sick. So she went to the chemist. It was so funny. She went to the chemist and she was like, can I have that, that and that? The chemist was like, please don't take all of these together. I was like, Kelly's absolutely going to go home and take
Kelly
all
takes
of
so
these
much
sick.
Medication
She's
anyway.
Like, I'm going home to just shove this in my face.
Yeah.
But poor Kelly's not well now, yeah. So shout out to anybody with this fucking whatever the fuck this is.
I don't know how I haven't gotten it to where you guys got it.
I don't know how you
have
gotten
it. I got that thing of like just a week of being like really, really, really lethargic.
Yeah.
Really, really sore throat.
Like run down kind of
really
feeling.
Really run down. But then the same, it was the week I was before my period. And then my period came and I was like, I don't feel like I'm going to kill myself anymore.
No, this thing's horrible. So shout out to anybody that's currently dealing with it because I am about to fucking walk through.
Everybody in my job has it. And I'm like, you can't take me out.
Yeah. You're doing good. You're strong. You're healthy.
Yeah.
You're living the dream.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
It's somewhere.
Kelly told me a very funny story yesterday. So she was like, you know cocktail sausages?
Yeah.
She was like, you guys call them cocktail sausages. I was like, yeah. She was like, take a guess what we call them in New Zealand. She's like, just take a guess. And I was like,
little wieners,
little dicks, little boys. And they write little boys on menus.
Little boys, like as in BOYS,
like a little boy penis, because it's cocktail sausage.
What?
I was like, Kelly, what? She was like, yeah, I'm Australian and New Zealand, it's like really common. You go into a restaurant and they just have little boys for
nothing. Little boys.
If that was in America, they'd be like, this is a pedophile ring.
They'd be like, this is a...
These Democrats are pedophiles.
You ever heard of Pizzagate? They are selling little boys in there on a platter for $12.99.
Hey, America, how's everything?
Do you know my voice note I sent you about that girl that's pregnant?
No, who's pregnant?
I sent you a voice note yesterday. I knew you didn't listen to it, you stupid bitch.
I'm going to tell you where I was.
Asleep.
Because I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
So, there's a girl I follow on the TikTok and the Instagram.
Okay, just tell me.
And I've showed you her. I'm not going to call out her name. Now, she does have a public page.
Say her to me.
She's the girl who does the cooking and she's from Northern Ireland. I'm going to say it. She's crazy eyes.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
I know who you're talking about.
So, she's been documenting that her periods, Lee. And she's like, my period's late, I've done pregnancy and they will come back as like negative, but like been documented. She's a great cook, so like she makes
delicious food,
amazing food. And then she's on the 12th day of her late period, she's tested positive.
Oh no.
So she's pregnant essentially, and I just love the candor of her.
Is she being really honest about it?
She's like, I'm gonna have an abortion.
Go for her.
She's like, and I'm making risotto because I'm going to be out of action for the next couple of days because I'm in an abortion. I'm getting this thing evicted.
Get it out.
And I just love the like...
But that's the way it should be.
People
should
are on be. And they're like, no, I think she's just on the right side of TikTok as well because there's no one in her
being
comments being like, you fucking murdering
you
whore.
You baby killer bitch.
She's like, we wore a condom.
These things happen.
She was like...
These things happen.
We're safe. I can't be on female contraception because it really messes with my mental health.
So she wore
She's
a condom.
Like,
that was
he wore
accident.
A condom. Clearly something happened. I've gotten impregnated and I don't want to have this baby.
That's fair enough.
And I was just like, man.
Yeah, but
like, I love to see it in 2025.
That's the way it should be. There should be a level of honesty about it because it's such a everything to do with a woman's body is so shame-based.
Mm.
Like our periods, our menopause, like... Everything. It's just like, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Shh, shh, shh. Like, that's the mentality. So fair fucking, as Lucille would say, good for her.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Anyway, the Oscars happened. And I am either, like, getting very old. Completely out of touch.
You were like,
or I just think this year is, like, a shit year for the Oscars.
Was it just people that, like, you didn't know or they were very young?
I knew Zoe Saldana.
You're like, Zamboni Glynn is here.
Zamboni Glynn is here from...
With her boyfriend, Lil...
I don't know anybody, and I'm telling
you
now,
these people are.
It was a fucking soft year
soft
in every
year.
Category.
Why is that awful, awful film getting nominated for Oscars?
Which one?
The
Sofia Perez one? Is that what it's called?
Sofia Perez? I don't know.
Anyway, it won. She won. Zoe Saldana won.
Girl, I have seen clips. The funniest thing is, Katya hates it so much. And she has just, the last like 3 months, every single episode of the Trixie and Katya podcast, she is just talking shit about this movie. She's like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's not even like so bad it's good. It's just bad. I've seen a couple of clips from it. I'm like, what is this?
I'm going to tell you something. I know I said it this morning, and you might be thinking that I was being funny, but I genuinely believe it. If we'd have made a movie this year, we would have got nominated.
Probably.
That's how bad the categories were. I was like...
Who won Best Movie?
Brutalist. The Brutalist.
Oh, is that the one with the annoying guy?
Adrian Brody won Best.
He does my fucking
nose. I would sit on that nose.
He's a fucking arsehole.
I said it, and I bet.
Did he win?
Yeah, he won.
Did he give a long meandering speech?
Don't know, didn't look.
More than likely.
Oh, Adrian Brody breaks record for longest ever Oscar speech.
He's an arsehole. Adrian Brody. I can't stand his ass.
So he won Best Actor?
And who won Best... What won Best Movie?
That might have. Hang on.
Oh, you said The Brutalist. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
That was so loud in the earphones. That was nice.
Apologies.
It was...
Best Movie. Which movie won Best... What the fuck? Fuck off, Google.
I didn't even know the Oscars was on until this morning when I went
Anora?
Into work. Anora? I have no idea what that is. That sounds like a horror movie or something, isn't it? Although a horror movie wouldn't have won an Oscar.
Anora wins Best Picture. Oh, let me see what that is.
Anora, I will say, the only reason I knew the Oscars was on is that I saw the Palestinian filmmakers won Best International Film, I believe. Or Best Documentary, or Best... I'm not sure. Anyway.
Oh!
Congratulations.
I have seen clips to this movie. What she marries... Anora is like...
Oh, she's the stripper!
And she marries the son of an oligarch.
Oh.
Oligarch?
That
oligarchy?
That one Best Picture?
Yeah, but that seemed like a fucking comedy to me.
Oh, what's going on with the Oscars?
See? Mm-mm. It's not just me. I was like, I'm like, you know me, I go to cinema all the time. I've seen conflicts. I've seen parts of The Brutalist. I'm not sitting through 4 hours of it. Suck my dick. And no movie needs to be 4 hours long. No,
get it off. Get off. Get on and off.
Yeah, but you tell me what, it could be 4 hours long. What? Mine and Adrian's love making.
No. He bore you to tears.
He'd be busy.
He wouldn't. Do you think? This bitch thinking Adrian Brody's going to do anything. I'll tell you how great he is, but not doing anything. But yeah, I'd like, be like, that's a very odd choice.
I'm telling you now, we missed out. We should have made a movie.
We could have made a little doc.
Yeah.
One Best Doc.
Yeah, Best Doc.
I'd like Best Doc. But shout out to the Palestinian filmmakers who won. And that movie is actually up on Channel 4 at the moment. It's on the Channel 4 app if you want to watch it. I can't remember the name of it because I need to go to bed. But it's... I'm very happy for them, and I'm also very shocked that they are handed an award in the current climate of Hollywood. So good stuff. Bit of good news. What day is it? On a Monday.
What day is it? On a Monday?
Is it today, Monday?
Today is a Monday.
Yeah. But I didn't watch any of the rest of it. I only knew it was on because I saw the
I seen
one.
Conan's intro because it made me laugh.
Oh fuck, Conan was presenting
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what Colin was talking about. He told a joke about Kendrick Lamar. He was like, we're halfway through the ceremony. That means Kendrick Lamar's going to come out and call Drake a pedophile.
Not wrong. Is he really going to do it?
But yeah, no, I don't care about the Oscars. Like, I'm just so... I've gotten to the age now and I just see these rich people patting each other on the back. I'm like, fucking go die in a ditch.
Like, me and Emma are going to New York in 2 weeks.
We are going to the land of...
Oh, Jesus Christ, you sound so...
The free and the home of the brave.
We're going to New York. We're going to have a great time.
We're
going
to go...
My favourite thing about being Irish is our RT News front page. Because, like, there's big things happening in the world. What and you go got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stories down.
What?
60 drums of oil dumped in County Mead.
Or also they do this thing where they're like, if there's anyway an Irish thing on the periphery of something. So I'm sure if it was at the Oscars, they were like, one Irish person at the Oscars. And then there's 25 pictures of the person at the Oscars. Yeah. They love that.
Yeah, we love mediocre Irish people.
Oh, they fucking love that shit, they do.
Like,
Brian O'Brien, stunned at the Oscars. And he was there for like 5 seconds and they were like, we don't know who you are.
Brian O'Brien pictures. Wearing Milner.
Yeah, hundreds of pictures.
Like,
now.
And you're like...
John Rocha for Dunn's.
Yeah.
That's what Brian...
Right. Yeah. Top Shop.
Yeah. But that's what they all, whenever I click onto RT, I'm always like,
like, I do love an RT News front page because when you get down, like, you get past 3, like, really important stories, and then it's like, there was one the other day, they were like, Irish people's increase in breaking red lights has increased 2-fold.
I think I saw that, yeah.
I was like, then there's something wrong with where the traffic lights are.
I saw that. And you know, there's some motherfucker reading that going, this is a disgrace. Like, this country has gone to the dogs.
The blacks and the Muslims are doing that, breaking the red lights.
Yes, that's fully what
I tell you what's happened to those red lights.
We didn't need red lights before they came into the country.
We didn't have any problems before those Muslims came in, eh? Literally. Someone messaged me on Instagram the other day and she said, this country is falling apart. Our Catholic churches will soon be Muslims.
Hopefully.
Soon be Muslims. I said, I can't wait.
Hopefully. Because what good are they to us?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck have they done for us?
And then I looked at her page and both of her children lived in a different country.
Of course they do. People love that shit. The Irish people love getting on a comment section of a post and being like, I'm in back to Ireland and it doesn't even look like Ireland anymore. By the way, I live in another country.
Yeah, I live in a different... I'm an immigrant in a different country, you stupid white bitch.
Get the fuck
out of this comment anyway, page.
Everyone's a stupid cunt.
Every man is stupid.
Except our lovely listeners who are the greatest people in the world, alive.com.
Oh, well done, you.
Have you got anything to talk about? I have nothing to talk about.
What do you mean you've got nothing to talk about? I haven't seen you in a week.
I know, but I want to talk. I can't talk about that.
Oh, I've got stuff to tell
you. No, you've stuff to tell me.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I've fucking nothing to tell you.
Lads, I've had a very difficult week.
Sarah's had a shitty week.
Oh, I really have.
Yeah.
I genuinely, like, my mental health was in the toilet. Came home on Tuesday last week and I was like, oh.
No, last week was bad, yeah.
And then I got in the shower and I cried like a never nude. You know what I mean?
So Colin calls me. He's going to have your never new chair on. Fuck off. Maybe I am.
And then I came and Graham made delicious fried rice. It was lovely. I came down and I had like 2 bites. I did not eat a single meal last week,
Sarah,
because I was so
stressed
and sad. But I rewatched True Detective,
the first season.
Yeah, what a great fucking show. Great show.
Woody Harrelson is crazy. Like, he's legitimately fucking...
Like, he's crazy now.
Yeah.
He's an anti-vaxxer.
He's like, Dr. Fauci is evil and shouldn't have given people medication for the AIDS virus. You see that comment he made the other day?
No.
He's fucking nuts. Nuts. Like, crazy person.
Are him and what's his face really brothers?
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't know. But yeah, he's full-blown like... But he's always been a woo-woo fucking hippie weirdo anyway.
He's been famous like, for far too long not yeah. to be.
Like, he's always been one of those, like, live off the land, but you don't live off the land, you live in a fucking mansion in Hollywood, like.
Mm.
They can always afford to be woo-woo hippies. They can always afford to spend...
Well, he lives in Amsterdam.
Does he live... Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, he doesn't live... He doesn't
that
live
makes
in,
total sense.
I'm sure he has a residence there, but he lives in the Netherlands.
That makes sense that he lives over there. Well, he's probably just high 24/7. Do you want some of this?
No, it's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, he...
Look, it's like a worm. It's long.
Oh. She's talking about her worm. Penis.
My little penis. Like, well, take it out like this.
Peen. She has a long hot water ball.
Slap it out. That's what I do if I was a man.
Do you know when I was writing this story?
Yeah.
I was afraid that you've done it already.
Nope, haven't.
But you've done part of it.
Haven't?
Oh.
Well, I checked. I have like a list of the cases that we've done on, so I've checked and it's not there.
Who could ever teach?
Because he said the name and I was like, oh, that's familiar. But I don't
yeah,
think it's familiar.
You've talked about her.
Oh god, oh, he fucking knows. Colin's gig was college. Said Colin had a very good gig on Saturday night in February. It was really, really good, and everybody had a great time.
Okay.
And then I said I have to go home because there are literal children here.
Did you go home early?
I went home. We were out since 6, so I was home at like midnight. And I was like, I'm going home. Kids, dude. I've never felt older in my life. Babies, like. I was like, I can't be here.
In that gig?
Yeah, at the gig, yeah. Like, babies. Like, they all, like, I know a lot of, there was a band there that are quite young.
Are they the band that made everybody sit on the ground? Because I would kill myself.
Yeah, no, I said, I'm not sitting on the ground in favours.
Like these, I saw the video.
Are you people crazy?
I said, I tell you what, I'm glad I didn't get a babysitter.
STD in the morning.
Because you know what, this cunt down the back would be like, are you having a laugh?
I was sad. I went to the bar. I was in the toilet. I can't remember. I came out and I was like,
what's going on?
What's happening?
Everybody's sitting on the ground.
Yeah, everybody's sitting on the ground. I was like,
why were they doing this?
It's a thing people do. Like, it's like if I've seen videos from shows now where people are doing that, like, get on the ground and do like the Viking boat thing. I'm like, get up.
What?
Yeah, like hundreds of people just get on the ground. You're like, get up. I'm sorry, you look fucking stupid as shit. Get up. It's I like, don't care if that makes
no,
me feel
No, I'd like to know it.
Yeah.
You got the motion.
Do you follow that girl?
Rock the boat.
What's her name? Few Cans, I think.
No.
She's very funny.
Oh, I do know her.
She does this one video where she's like, when you're doing Rock the Boat at a wedding and you can't remember where your passport is. So she's in slow motion and she's like, and then she goes.
So I'd like
and it makes you laugh every time.
That's like one of like my worst fears in life.
What, losing your passport?
No.
Oh, what?
It's being at one of those things and someone making me do that.
No.
Like,
do they still do that at weddings?
I haven't been at a wedding where they have done that.
No, I haven't seen
it. But like, I know it, like, you know.
There then are, if you don't go down, they're like, I killed you.
There are events. I have been at them and people pull that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'd be like, sorry, excuse me.
White people are very stupid. When you go to, like, I see videos of people at black functions. They do like the electric slide and stuff. I'm like, that's so cool. You mean where they can cool. dance
yeah. and they have rhythm?
Oh, that's so cool. And then you got Irish people in a row like this.
Yeah, no, I even that. You've got Irish people and they're like, here, play that Westlife song. I like, would you go and get have a chat with you? Michaela, do you know what I mean? Powder room stuff. Like, have a conversation with yourself.
Is this
where you thought your life was going to be?
I don't believe it is. Like, I want to be at a wedding singing Westlife.
Like, I'm flying without wings.
Did you watch the Boys on documentary?
No, I watched part of it and then I realised that I don't care.
Also.
Like, I don't care.
Can I make a hot take?
Go on.
Some of it was so stupid. Like, there was one part where one of them, I don't know his name, one of them, and he's like the one that's like a recluse. He's like
Mike!
He's a complete recluse.
Mikey made a movie, just so we're all aware. And it's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Here we go, Google that guy and look up the movie, the Kung Fu movie that he made.
He made a Kung Fu movie. And Kevin and Graham used to watch that once a month together.
But he was like, when they first started, he was like, I was meant to be the singer. And then they told me I could go and record vocals. And then I went and they didn't let me record vocals. And then I was just broken. Really?
Really, Mikey?
But you did not get a grip. Like, you're getting paid a fuck ton of money to not sing.
Yeah.
Some of it was ridiculous. Like, some of it was just ridiculous.
The big issue, right, was that Ronan fella clearly has drive.
Yeah. He was the star power. Yeah, yeah.
Right? And Ronan Keaton was on everything. Like, he did presented the MTV Awards here in Dublin. He did that stupid song for that stupid movie. The Smile on Your Face.
Oh, Notting Hill.
Let me know
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other thing about Ronan Keaton is, I don't care. If you like him, go and have a chat with a doctor because he can't sing.
He puts on a voice.
Yeah. Let's me know. Did you ever see when Billy Connolly sing?
Yeah.
That's
actually what it is.
It's the Blue Mountains.
Yeah, that's actually what it is.
That's what Ronan Keaton can't sing.
He's, but he was like,
had drive. And he was willing. And then all that happened there is the lads got jealous.
Yeah. And like, there was a part in it where they were, because they broke up and got back together a couple of times. And then the last time that they got back together, I didn't watch it. Guy who died.
Stephen.
He died. So they got back together without him. And then the other lads were just like, well, two of them were just messers. They were just dossers because they didn't do anything.
Shane, Keith.
Yeah, the crazy.
How's
man
it going, bud?
And,
how's it doing, bud?
The fucking Lulu guy that's like, oh yeah, I see people in record companies calling the devil over the CDs. That fucking. Who needs a doctor?
Yeah,
like, but anyway, those two were just dossers. So, like, there was this part in it where they were obviously standing on stage and there's four mics, and obviously their in ears are linked to specific mics. So Ronan was singing, and then he stopped singing, and then one of the guys came over and like sang into his mic, so fucked up his in ear, and he was gonna fucking deck him, But you could tell that Ronan was like, "I'm trying to be a professional."
Yeah,
but those other two were just like. We're getting paid to stand here. We don't sing. We don't do anything.
No.
We're getting a quarter of whatever we're making here.
Yeah.
But then they were like, we'll never get back together again. And then at the end of it, the person was like, would you get back together again? They were like, yeah.
But that
because
guy...
they need, of course they would. They want money.
But that guy, Keith Duffy's in a terrible, like, he gigs with that Brian McFadden fella from Westlife.
What do you mean gigs with him? What do they do?
They go around and sing stupid songs.
No,
I'm nearly certain. What's Brian McFadden and Keith Duffy? Isn't that his name?
Keith Duffy. Yeah. He does like, oh, he's so tires or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure what that man.
He goes, "How are you, bud?
How are you, bud?
How's
you
buddy? Tires."
But apparently, he was on Coronation Street. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Brian McFadden and Keith Duffy are in a band called Boys Life.
Boys Life.
Yeah, and it is absolutely. One of the funniest things you'll ever see in your life.
Is it awful?
They do little dances and everything.
Also, why you're grown men? Stop calling yourselves boys.
Boys Life. Look at this. Look. Look at these pictures. Look, sorry, for the people who can't see, like, look at this picture.
I'll give it up.
Like, look at the highlights.
And what do they, do they sing
also songs? The random Fender Stratocaster.
Well, he's from Westlife, right?
Yeah, but he not remember, he left Westlife.
Yes.
And then Westlife obviously got bigger without him, I think.
Will he not just go back to them?
They're sure, they don't want him.
Oh, should never be the right.
Like,
are they still going?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Well, I remember
one of them was going to be bankrupt or something.
My mother was very upset about that. And when I tell you, I don't know why. She was very, I just remember specifically.
And one of them was going to have no money.
My mother was like, that's shocking.
One of them was married to Bertie Ahern's daughter.
Yeah. Well, when everyone was going to go bankrupt, I remember my mother being deeply concerned about him.
Oh, okay.
And how he was going to get on. She was like, look him up. I said, Mom, I couldn't give a fuck about what this man is. Like, he clearly bought a shit ton of property in Ireland. And that was like,
what's Kiki say? I would not know this man.
I do not know this man. I am sorry to this man. Yeah. But yeah, she was very
I could see, I could pass him in.
That's you with so many people. Your face blindness.
Oh, I don't know who anybody is.
I'm trying
and to. You put up pictures tonight and I was like, I can't remember what Matthew looks like. Are is he in these pictures?
No, he wasn't.
I couldn't tell you if he was.
His back was, but his face wasn't.
Yeah, like you could have been like, this is me and Matthew. I'm like, fair play to you.
Who that is. I am trying to remember people's names and work. There's a lot of people. And I'm just, every now and again, I'm like, fuck.
Do you feel like how I feel?
Yeah, like I panic. I feel so bad. And then I'm trying to be like, break it up into like graphics, studio, the carpentry. Like I'm trying
to. They all know your name.
They do. And they say,
good, got yellow hair.
Good morning, Emma.
Yeah.
And I say, good morning.
Here's the new yellow haired girl. Yeah.
Who, you? I don't know. There's two Chris's and two Rob's. And I'm trying to figure out which is the Chris and which is the Rob, and I can't, and I keep doing it. And there's one guy that looks like your husband. So like,
my husband?
Yeah, I look so much like Graham.
Are you deeply attracted to him?
No. And I told him and he went, oh, okay.
What did you tell him?
Well, that was a flat interaction there.
What did you tell him?
I just said, you look so much like my best friend's husband. And he went, oh, okay. I said, cool, well, I'm just going to go this way.
Because Graham has a lot of relatives.
Oh, God, you don't know. He's very talented. He's a carpenter.
Oh.
The shit he can make. Holy fuck, carpenters are unreal. Like because they're the carpentry area is around the back of my office, and every now and again I'll just be walking down and I'll be like, oh, look at them.
Have you got any notes from the last time we met that I needed to talk about? Because sometimes I say to you, write this down.
Let me see. I have big set of tits written in here for some reason. I have absolutely no idea why I have that written on my phone. I have fucking no clue. What's the big set of tits written on my phone?
Who knows? That's it.
I mean, I probably should do housekeeping.
Housekeeping? Yeah. We have no housekeeping.
We do.
Do we?
What are we doing?
Oh, we're doing a live show.
You tell them about the live show.
We're doing a live show in the Laughter Lounge. Comedy Club, Laughter Lounge.
That's the one in Dublin City Centre, once again. In we suck.
Dublin.
It's going to be on July 24th, which is a Thursday. Tickets are €25. They're on sale from the Laughter Lounge website. Thank you to everybody who has currently bought tickets. Thank you to everybody who has booked fucking flights again and booked hotels to come and stay in Dublin. Thank you so, so much. Yeah, we appreciate it. I know we keep saying that, but I hope you don't ever think we're being disingenuous. We fucking really appreciate it. Please come along. It'll be loads of fun. Sarah won't be walking around like a Korean grandfather with her hands behind her back.
Maybe
this time.
I will. Then no, who's going
to
stop me?
Me, because I'm going to do the case so you don't have to worry.
Like, I'll walk around like a Korean grandfather if I want to.
No, you won't.
I'm going to dress up.
Because I'd be really stressed out. I'm so stressed out when you were doing that. I was like, what is happening? Why is she reacting this way?
So I walk around.
It was really bad.
I know.
You were so stressed.
I was very stressed.
So I will do that, so you don't have to worry about that. But yeah, thank you to everybody that's bought tickets. If you're coming, we'd be delighted to see you. We'll say hello. We'll give you a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Two thumbs up.
What's the thing?
Are you laughing?
I'm laughing. Are you laughing? I'm laughing.
So yeah, thank you to everybody. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Thanks, everybody.
And we can do our case. Your case. Oh, actually, the Patreon. If you would like to join our Patreon.
Yeah, if you would like to join our Patreon, it's anybody who hasn't heard our Patreon, Colin's probably going to put a few like bits and pieces up onto the main Spotify of it. But obviously, it's less gruesome and awful than this.
Yeah, it's a bit
and
more,
there's a bit more fun and banter, yeah. But there's also a lot of like personal conversations.
Yeah.
But we are going to kind of kick it back off this year, and I am going to do that story, which I started today, and I was in work in the canteen reading it out.
German
people.
Cannibal.
And one German of the someone cannibal. Came into the canteen and Denise just went, did he eat his Mickey?
So there's all our things that we're shilling, and thank you very much.
Yeah, we're shilling.
Sarah's going to do a case and I'm going to lie on my belly. Colin, shut the fuck up. I'm lying on my belly. I'm just sick and I'm tired.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Are you sick of being got at by boredom? Well, Sarah Jane and Emma know the perfect remedy for you. A subscription to the official Murder Most Irish Patreon. For only €6 a month, you can not only support the show, but binge out on exclusive weekly content. Murder Most Irish Patreon for all your murder feminist needs.
Okay, this week's episode, I am covering the case of Catherine Kitty Carroll.
Good woman, Kitty.
The sources for me are The Independent, The Echo Live, Irish Examiner, Convict Records, Wikipedia, Men's Array, Justice Doc. Remember The Evening
Echo!
Herald?
Echo!
Remember The Evening Herald?
Is The Evening Herald gone?
I haven't seen it in a very long time.
I know The Evening Herald's a recent.
Anyway, The Evening Herald, RT News. Kitty Carroll was a 64-year-old widow residing in Drogheda, Ireland. She was known for her warm demeanour and active participation in the local community. She was a cherished figure among her neighbours and friends. Her life, however, met a tragic end in October 1983 when she fell victim to a violent crime perpetrated by Michael Murphy. Everybody called her Kitty, so I'm going to refer to her as Kitty. She was known just for her warm and welcoming nature, but also for her unwavering kindness to those around. And she built a reputation as someone who always had time for a friendly chat, a listening ear, and a helping hand for everyone in need. She was born and raised in Drogheda. And Kitty had lived through the changes of the decades, witnessing the town evolve while remaining firmly rooted in its traditions. She had married young and built a life filled with love, laughter and resilience. Kitty had a small but cherished circle of close friends with whom she regularly attended mass, shared cups of tea and exchanged stories about their families, their town and their little joys of daily life. Aww. She often visited the local market where vendors greeted her by name, appreciating the warmth and familiarity she brought with her. Though she lived alone, she was far from isolated and she'd built a life rich with connections and friendships. So Kitty never had any children.
Okay.
And her and her husband lived together, but they moved to it's almost like a, you know, those small homes for elderly people?
Oh, yeah.
They moved to one of them about a year before this had happened. So her days were often spent volunteering, lending a hand to those in need, or simply offering a kind word to someone having a rough day. Whether it was helping an elderly neighbour with their groceries or stopping by to check in on a friend who'd fallen ill, Kitty embodied the spirit of her community and she believed in the simple power of human kindness, something she gave freely and without hesitation. On the morning of October 20th, 1983, Kitty began her day as she had done countless times before. She rose early, made herself a cup of tea and prepared to run a few errands in the town. The people of Drogheda knew Kitty well and she stepped out of her modest home and she likely greeted her familiar faces with a warm smile and a kind word. That evening, Kitty headed to play cards with some friends in aid of a charity. She made her way home at about 11:30 and she went by the way of an alleyway called the Fairgreen, which is kind of an industrial area, but it was kind of more of a crow's fly to her home.
Okay, so it wasn't too far.
It was about a 15-minute walk.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Through the shortcut. And if anybody's ever been in Drogheda...
Poor Kitty.
These areas are full of alleyways.
Yeah.
And it's quite winding. Drogheda has obviously you've got the down at the bottom of the river and the ocean comes in. So you've got a small port. It's very, very small. But there's a lot of work down at the docks. But the way the city kind of sprawls out from there is quite maze-like.
Yeah.
So she was walking home in the alleyway. Just before midnight, the Gardaí were called to the same area and Kitty's body was found. She was 64 years of age and she'd been attacked and laid dead. Her body had been dragged from Fairgreen to a dead end laneway nearby. She wasn't pronounced dead. Her body was taken away in an ambulance and they continued to try and resuscitate her and the area was cordoned off. She was pronounced dead at around midnight and the state pathologist was called and the scene was cordoned off. Her body was formally identified the following day by her cousin Sheila. Her husband Henry had died the year previous.
Oh, fuck.
They had no children, and within 24 hours, the media ran stories that Michael Murphy, a 21-year-old, had been charged with the murder of Kitty. Specific details about Michael Murphy's childhood are scarce in public records. However, there are available information that indicates his early life was marked by truancy, delinquency, and he frequently skipped school. engaging in petty crimes that escalated over time. The pattern of behaviour set the foundations for a troubled adulthood characterised by violent offences. Born in 1961 to Larry and Teresa Murphy.
There's like your nails so pretty.
Oh. To Larry and Teresa Murphy. The seeds of Michael Murphy's long brush with the law can be traced back into his early childhood, when at the age of 12 he appeared before Drogheda's Children Court, charged with several petty offences, including larceny. A student at Congress Avenue School, so he starred in Congress Avenue School. Murphy would later be moved to St. Eta's, where he continued with his disruptive behaviour. St. Eta's is almost like a special needs school.
Okay.
But he didn't do well there either, and he was later detained by the by a court order at St. Joseph's School in Clonmel before returning to Drogheda at age 16. So that's kind of like, you know, essentially he wasn't going to school all the time, so he was made to go to this other school where he had to attend.
Yeah.
Friends say Murphy continually had trouble holding down jobs, but he was nevertheless a hard worker when he was employed.
Yeah.
Murphy worked on the trawlers and with Irish Cement, Dunn Stores and the Drogheda Docks during his late teens. Friends have also said that he spent some time in England working in St. Helens in Manchester, where he lived on and off in the Salvation Hotel before returning home, so it didn't really go well there for him either. In 1980, he was bound to the peace for 2 years for causing bodily harm and was back in trouble a year later when he was charged with the breach of the peace. Court records also show that he was bound to the peace for 2 years for unlawful use of language towards Michael Lodge, a teacher. He also was fined for dangerous driving on a later date. After some back and forth with the book of evidence, a trial date was set. So this was like really quick. Her body was found.
And then they had him.
They had him like the same night.
Really? He was a little gurrier, obviously.
And then like within the next day he was charged. And then like a couple of months later he was set. So on Thursday the 12th of the 7th, 1984, his trial began.
But like that's the thing, that like his escalation went from like petty theft and larceny to like murder.
Yeah, and we'll get into it now, but the murder is quite, it's like, it's really odd. It's so random.
Yeah.
So Thursday the 12th of the 7th, 1984, Michael Murphy's trial for murder opened in the Central Criminal Court, with the presiding judge being Mr. Justice Declan Costello. James Carroll, the senior counsel on behalf of the state, said that after 2 hours of being held by the Gardaí, that Michael Murphy admitted to the killing of Kitty Carroll. Murphy stated he did not know why he had killed her, and Dr. John Harbison said that a bruise was found to the right side of her neck. There was vomit in her mouth, her hair and her face. There was blood on her right eyelid, grazing and bruising of her right cheek. She had hemorrhaging on her scalp and her skull, but she had fluid in her lungs and some of the fluid was her own stomach contents.
What the fuck?
She had choked on her own vomit.
Oh my God, that is so fucked.
Her false teeth had been pushed to the back of her throat and then fallen out. And they were kind of pushed into the back of her throat, which is what looks to like have made her gag. She had bleeding on her tongue and she died from choking on her own vomit, essentially. And he said on the stand that essentially she drowned.
Oh, fuck.
She was also shown to have a weakened heart, and this could have contributed to her death, but was not the cause. And there was no evidence of sexual assault.
Okay.
During the trial, the defence put forward an argument that was both shocking and deeply unsettling. So they claimed that if Kitty had been... This guy's a piece of shit. If Kitty had not been elderly and physically weak, that she might have survived the attack. And this argument, while legally strategic, was met with outrage and disbelief, as it appeared to shift partial responsibility for the crime onto Kitty herself. An elderly woman who had done nothing but cross the path of a violent man. Like, Kitty had left a card game that was for charity with local church friends and walked home by herself.
And they basically said, well, maybe if she wasn't old.
Yeah.
Oh my God, these fucking barristers, I swear to God.
How do they sleep at night?
Murphy's defence team sought to downplay the intentionality and severity of his actions by implying that he had not set out to kill Kitty, but rather that her age and physical vulnerability made her unable to withstand the assault. In legal terms, this was likely an attempt to argue for a reduced charge, such as manslaughter instead of murder, on the grounds that Murphy had not premeditated her death, but rather that it was an unfortunate consequence of his actions. Her weakened cardiovascular health due to her age, her reduced muscle strength, making it harder for Kitty to fight back, her increased vulnerability to trauma, meaning her body was less resilient to Murphy's attack. So that they kind of made that, that was like their opening statement.
Right.
So, witnesses reported that Michael Murphy was seen in multiple pubs over the evening of October 20th. The Wagon Wheel pub, a barman stated that Murphy had been in the pub all afternoon, behaving quietly and respectfully. Murphy's father, Larry Murphy, testified that Michael came home around 5 p.m. in the day. He was in great form. He had paid his rent to his mother, so he paid his mother £25. He then mentioned that he was heading out to Navan to play pool at 6 p.m, but he never actually went to Navan, and instead he went to another pub where he began drinking like shorts. He was drinking vodka and lemonade. Witness accounts of Murphy's behaviour. So in the pub, witness recalled that Murphy appeared to be in good spirits, but was not aggressive. So this was another pub. However, another woman, Nolene, later stated that Murphy was in an excitable condition before he left the pub.
Okay.
Confessing to the murder. So the next time he was seen, Murphy then was seen wandering in the town. So he was seen telling people that he had killed an old woman.
Just telling people?
Yeah, so this is after the murder. So Sean Donna was sitting in his car when Murphy approached and tapped on the window. He said to Sean, "I've killed a woman." And then Sean, assuming that Murphy was drunk, dismissed him and said, "Fuck off," before driving away and not taking the claim seriously. He then went back to the Star and Crescent pub, and a doorman from the Star and Crescent pub recalled seeing Michael between 11:30 and 11:45. He said Murphy knocked on the door and pleaded, "Will you help me? I think I just killed her. She is not breathing." The doorman noticed that Murphy was intoxicated, slurring his words and carrying drink. So assuming Murphy was too drunk to be taken seriously, the doorman told him to go home and sleep it off. Don McKenna, who's Michael Murphy's foreman at his current job, was among the last people to see Michael on the night of October 20th, 1983. And as Michael was leaving the same pub, so the same pub where the doorman was like, "Get the fuck out of here," Dan McKenna is leaving and Michael Murphy sees him, and he approaches everybody's in a pub and they're all driving. So he notices Murphy approaching his car. Murphy knocked on the window and asked to speak with him. Murphy told McKenna that he'd killed a woman. Initially, like, Dan McKenna is like, "Don't be acting the fool."
Yeah.
That's literally what he says to him. However, Michael Murphy insists and leads Dan McKenna around to the back of the pub to the building where Kitty Carroll's body is lying. Dan knelt down beside Kitty and felt her body. He noted that her body was still warm, but that he could not find a pulse. Realizing the gravity of the situation, he instructed Murphy not to move, and he immediately left the scene to go get a guard. When the Gardaí arrived at the scene, they discovered Kitty lying on her back. The detail of her appearance painted a harrowing picture of the attack she had suffered. Her clothes were in a state of disarray. Her underwear was exposed, which indicated a struggle. Her shoes were missing. She had visible marks on her forehead. She had blood coming from her mouth, suggesting possible blunt force trauma or an internal injury. There was an attempted resuscitation. However, as they worked, Michael Murphy stood nearby shouting and saying, "She's dead. The old lady, I strangled her with my bare hands. I know she's dead." Murphy, seemingly eager to prove his guilt, then led one of the Gardaí across the way and pointed to Kitty's handbag, which was in between two like burnt out cars, where he had clearly hidden it. He also showed them where he'd placed her shoes and her dentures, further confirming his involvement in the crime. So this is how Murphy was arrested. So after leading the officers to the hidden items, Murphy turned and asked if she was dead. As though the reality of what he had done was only just sinking in. With overwhelming evidence against him, the Gardaí immediately placed him under arrest on the spot. That moment not only solidified Murphy's direct admission to guilt, but also demonstrated his disturbing detachment from the gravity of his actions. His behaviour, his veering in between boastfulness and uncertainty. So he was kind of going like, did I kill her? Is she dead?
Yeah.
I killed her. She's definitely dead.
Yeah.
Kind of wasn't really acting normal. Revealed a man whose violent impulses had spiralled beyond the control. And after his arrest, Michael Murphy was brought to the Garda station for questioning. By the time he arrived, officers noted that he had calmed down considerably. The wild confession and erratic behaviour from the earlier night had subsided. It was as though admitting to his crime had relieved him of some internal burden. Now in a composed and detached manner, he gave detailed account of his movements of the day of Kitty Carroll's murder. Murphy outlined his routine in a way that made the events almost seem mundane. That morning he went to work. He worked for the local corporation. At lunchtime he collected his pay of £75 and he left work. He spent the afternoon and evening drinking. He visited several pubs throughout the day. He then went home for dinner, spending time with his father, Larry Murphy. He consumed about 7 pints and 11 shorts over the course of the night. And I know this isn't funny, but it just made me think, you know, Pint Man.
How many pints? What's his name?
Paddy Pint Man, I call him.
Paddy Lassie.
Yeah.
Paddy Lassie, is that him? He loves a pint.
He loves a pint.
That man makes me laugh so much.
Pint Man is the best man ever. And I go at it again, awful hard.
Someone at a Palestinian protest had a big cutout of him.
He's just the best.
With a Palestinian flag around, it was so
and
fun.
And Maureen have the fry on. And I go off and...
I tell you, that man lived a life.
I go out after
him. I go out an awful hard.
Awful hard. And I take the shirt off anyone's back. Murphy described the moment he encountered Kitty. As he walked up the laneway, he noticed a woman walking close by. She was alone, and as she attempted to pass him, he suddenly reached out and grabbed her by the throat. So it's just like... not planned.
She just was like, I am going to kill this woman.
Yeah.
For no reason.
He began choking her and cutting off her breath and preventing her from escaping. As she struggled and screamed for help, he pushed her to the ground. To silence her, he forcefully pressed down on her mouth to muffle her cries. As he did this, her dentures became dislodged and fell out of her mouth. While holding her down, Murphy recalled hearing a noise come from her throat about 3 or 4 times. This is possibly the last gasps of her struggling for air. Then she went still. Realising she was no longer moving, Murphy rifled through her bag, stole her purse and her rosary beads. He then dragged Kitty's lifeless body to a more secluded spot, attempting to hide what he had done. Before the Garda took a statement, Michael said he did not know why he did it, that he must be mad. In total, 25 witnesses were called and the state's case rested. Drunkenness was not a defence and his defence team argued the opposite. So the state was like, drunkenness isn't a defence for this. And his defence team argued the opposite. They said that Michael was so heavily intoxicated that he could not form intent. She was entitled to be alive today, but nothing could explain the attack as there was no motive. The accused had a good job. There was no sexual element. He was just too drunk to know what he was doing.
Hold on a second. Strangling the life out of someone is not a like, woohoo. That is, you are not stopping until that person is dead. That's intent.
Yeah. They argued that he was unable to form mens rea and therefore could not form intent.
Bullshit.
To murder.
Bullshit.
After 4.5 hours of deliberation, the jury returned and found Michael Murphy guilty of fucking manslaughter.
Of course they did. Yeah, usual
and
shit.
Not murder. Usual and I wrote shit. In big caps because people are fucking dumb and stupid.
Yeah, of course it was manslaughter. I fucking knew it was going to be manslaughter.
Sentencing began the following Monday. His childhood history was outlined above, which I outlined above, was gone through in the court. Before Judge Costello handed down a conviction and a sentence of 12 years and refused to leave to appeal. So he was like, you're 12 years and you're not allowed to appeal. Michael Murphy showed no emotion as the sentence was read. He served 9 years of his sentence mm-hmm. and was released at the age of 32.
Yeah. To live his life.
A young man in 1993. In 1995, he was before the courts again as he committed 2 armed robberies characterised by sheer lack of criminal professionalism. In each case, on October 10th, 1993, Murphy entered the Den Club 21 on the Old Abbey Road and he robbed Regina Tracy of £400 in 50p pieces. That must have been so heavy. I once had £600.
That's fucking seriously heavy.
Yeah, in like coins. And we had to
and that
like,
would have been the old money
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, no, it's 50p yeah. pieces. Murphy then went on and robbed Lorraine Duff of £300 and then £300 in checks at a newsagent's on November 6th in 1983. Murphy flushed the checks down the toilet and went out drinking that night with the cash. During the second attack, the young criminal robbed the newsagents because he had lost his dough money playing poker.
Oh my God.
The period of incarceration failed to dampen Murphy's fetish for crime. And in November 1997, he was charged with assaulting 2 women as they walked along Wellington Quay. He crept up on Mary Kelly and Adele McGrain and grabbed them from behind as they made their way home. At Drogheda District Court, Judge Flanbrennan praised the women for coming forward and described Murphy as evil and devious. He subsequently sentenced him. Guess how long?
3 years.
6 months. This man had murdered Kitty Carroll. He had done numerous robberies.
Yep. And then attacked 2 women on the
he
keys.
He attacked 2 women on the keys in Drogheda. He then was in court 6 months again after he was out in 2001 for driving without insurance. He received a suspended sentence and a fine. And these offences indicate a pattern of escalating violence and a disregard for the law, ultimately leading to the death of another woman. So this is where you've already covered the next case.
What is it?
In September 2001, Bettina Pochel.
Oh, fuck!
A 28-year-old German journalist was tragically murdered while visiting Ireland.
Oh.
She had been on a 6-day trip with a friend and was last seen walking along the Dunor Road towards Newgrange on September 25th, 2001.
Poor Bettina.
Her body was later discovered in a dense undergrowth near Dunor, County Meath. During the trial at Dublin's Criminal Court, evidence presented included testimony from Murphy's co-workers who noted his absence during a break on the day of Bettina's disappearance. After a 4-week trial, Murphy was found guilty and received a mandatory life sentence for the murder of Bettina. The case highlighted systematic failures in monitoring individuals with violent histories, as Murphy had previously been convicted of a murder.
Yep.
2 attempted assaults on a woman.
And countless robberies.
And countless robberies. A ceremony was held in Dunor to commemorate Bettina, reflecting the community's enduring grief and remembrance. Michael Murphy is still in prison and he really doesn't have any remorse for what he did.
Of course he doesn't.
He's in Arbor Hill, so he is considered a sex offender. But he, like, all of this, like, that Bettina lady, she would still be alive.
Yeah. If the judicial system in this country
wasn't a piece of shit,
done what they were meant to do and figured this out. And also, the other thing that really pisses me off about the Kitty Carroll case, A, saying to a jury, well, maybe if she wasn't old, she wouldn't have died.
Mm-hmm.
And B, the idea that this man did not have intent. When you choke the life out of somebody.
Yeah, it takes time.
That's intent.
Yeah.
Because that's not a gun. That's not like, oh, I shot him.
Yeah.
That's, I'm putting my hands around your throat and I'm choking you to the point that you are choking on your own vomit. You are an old lady.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to drag your body and steal from your purse. And there's no intent.
Yeah.
I don't know how these barristers sleep at night.
Oh, by the way, his barrister, represented him again in the second trial where he went up for the women Nahid, and I'm nearly certain represented him in Bettina's trial as well. Same barrister.
Unfortunately, you know, people say, you know, there's you can try and help these people and help them with these behaviours. There are certain people who just want to be this.
Yeah.
They just want to be pieces of shit, and they're going to be pieces of shit for the rest of their life until the day they die, and he is one of them. Like,
Fucking poor Kitty, man. Like, and she's an old lady and her husband had died and she's just walking home. Like, what the fuck? And then she'd be like, there was no intent. There was intent. He wanted her dead.
Yeah, he wanted to kill her.
Like, if he had said to her, give me your handbag, she would have given him her handbag.
Yeah.
She would just would have given him her handbag. She doesn't want to die.
Like.
But he didn't. He wanted to kill her. I don't know. The judicial system in this country has a lot to be fucking answered for, I swear to God. Anyway, he can rot. And rest in peace, Bettina, as well, because that was such a sad case.
Such a sad case.
Like, and I know Kitty didn't have any kids, so obviously I've just put her family alone, like, to have to go and look at the body of that woman and how she would have looked after what he had done to her, to identify her. That stuff really fucks me up. Like, people that can do that are so brave. I don't think I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. Like, to identify a body when somebody has passed away naturally is one thing, but to walk into a room and be like, you're going to see this person that you love destroyed. Oh man, no, I couldn't do it. I don't think I could do it. Great job.
Thanks.
We're very sorry to Kitty's family and also to Bettina's family, because she would be alive if that motherfucker.
Yeah, someone just needed to do their job.
And been kept in jail.
Yeah.
Just like, do their job. That's, but to go into jail for being charged with manslaughter. And then she get out and start attacking women on the fucking keys.
Yeah.
And nobody went, hey, this guy's...
There's a trend
here. Something's going on here, lads. Let him out again to kill a fucking journalist who was just in this country going to Newgrange to have a look. Anyway, I think men should start off in jail. I've said this before. I'll say it again.
I agree.
Start off in jail and they have to work their way out. But yeah, rest in peace to Kitty and to Bettina. And rest in peace, Michael.
Rest in peace, motherfucker.
Rest in peace, motherfucker.
Anyway, that's this week's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a nice weekend. No, week.
Week. What day is it?
Week.
And we'll be back.
We'll be back. And I'm going to do a Patreon story. And it's going to be great.
Join our Patreon. But do it on a laptop, because Apple are stealing fucking an enormous amount of money from people that sign up for Patreon on phone.
Do your...
The iOS, they're robbing bastards. So
do your Patreon sign up on your laptop.
On your laptop. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
You call Colin. I can't call
Colin.
I was doing next to nothing about a year ago, but Sarah Jane and Emma came a-knocking on my door. Said they figured out a better way to pass the time and do a little podcast, researching through crime. They wanted hoodies, cats and bees, the kind of place where men are not allowed. They wanted hoodies, cats and bees. On Sunday night, Sarah Jane would come around and lay a story down. And just about when everything was going as planned, Sarah Jane and Emma started making demands. You're gonna have to edit out for what we said, so I'll only record if we're sitting on a bed. Ooh, these cats and bees, a lifetime supply of Jenny Glow. They wanted hoodies, cats and bees, homicides, some Army Hammer Joes, and a song to end the show.